Welcome to Reading Deadly Troubadours, the weekly podcast where I, Brent Thomas, read my novel, Deadly Troubadours. Let's begin, shall we?
Chapter 18, Lord Guard Trin. Everett Trin's appearance did not meet expectations. Many imagined that the Lord of the Guard would be a tall man, broad and stout. Trin was not. He was of average height, but of such a slim build that he seemed shorter than he actually was. His snowy white hair was cut short, but perpetually looked as if it needed a trim to put it back in line. It was hard to say if this trim was actually needed, or if it was just another issue of expectations. It was natural to think that the famous Lord Guard Trin would have such an aura of precision about him that even his hairstyle would be precise and severe. As it was, nothing about Trin came off as severe. Even his brown eyes came off as warm and friendly. His non-imposing manner and appearance had led to decades of his being underestimated. His mind operated like clockwork. He was highly proficient at measuring conflicting information and arriving at delicate solutions. His practicality overwhelmed his sentimentality. He was very much a gardener. No matter how much he cared for one individual plant, if it became diseased or corrupted, he could not allow it to threaten the whole of the garden. Better to pluck out the corrupting agent. Trist was the garden he tended. The scarlets were his tools. No matter how strict he must be on his garden, he must show even more care in maintaining his tools. A cracked watering pot cannot nourish. A corrupt guard cannot maintain order. Trin could not abide corruption. That was not to say he led a Spartan existence. He did enjoy the benefits that came with his prestigious title. He and his family were given lush accommodations, complete with around-the-clock guards. It would not do to have an attack on the house of the Lord Guard. He also received what he considered a quite adequate wage for fulfilling his duties. Said wage allowed him and his wife to live comfortably, eat well, and afford to keep several servants to help with cooking, cleaning, and maintaining the estate. Lord Guard and Madame Trin, unfortunately the position did not include an accompanying ladyship to distinguish it from true aristocracy, were also able to dote on their 9 grandchildren, a product of having 2 sons and 1 daughter. Every birth anniversary was a celebration. Yes, Lord Guard Trin was considerably more well off than the average guard, but it must be said that he never sought to increase the comforts offered his position. It was a bright day. Sun poured in through the open windows, adding to the warmth in the room. Trin hummed a jaunty tune as he busied himself in front of their brick stove. He was in the process of roasting diced fire peppers in an iron skillet. When he was satisfied they had received enough heat to activate their juices, he would add in the freshly butchered cubes of mutton he had waiting. Today was his day of rest, and he liked to cook. His time in the southern expanse had given him a taste for the spiciest of foods. His cook, no matter how splendid in all other regards, just could not get the flavors right with the southern spices, and the food always tasted far too mild. When Trin prepared the dishes himself, it contained enough heat to bring out sweat. His cooking often meant dining alone and necessitated repeated washings of his clothes and sheets to get the scent of the spices out of the fabrics. His humming increased as he saw the first bead of juice slip from the normally dry pepper. From the counter he plucked a wedge of cinnamon orange and popped it in his mouth. Another perk of his position was being able to regularly afford the fruit. He watched the peppers closely. As in so many things, timing was the key. The heat would cause the peppers to cry out their moisture. Just when the output started to lessen, the peppers and juice would be at their most succulent and perfect for seasoning food. Remove them from the heat too early, and they had a bitter, spoiled flavor. Too long, and the peppers had a peculiar habit of quickly crisping to ash. There was a commotion coming from the front entrance. He frowned and ceased his humming. He looked longingly at the fry pan. It was still too early. Into the kitchen came Marcus, one of the 3 tribunes of the Scarlets, quickly followed by a protesting servant. "Forgive the intrusion, Lord Guard," he said while saluting with his closed right fist placed just past his left breast. The trailing servant fell silent and cast her eyes to Trent for a signal of how to proceed. He dismissed her with a slight wave of his hand. "Such intrusions are part of your duties, Marcus, and you have no need for asking forgiveness. Provided, of course, there is just cause." He let a faint smile play across his lips to reassure the younger man. He had faith that Marcus would have more than ample cause, and that knowledge steeled him for whatever dire news was to come. "Sir, the fires have been lit." Trin cursed himself that for a moment he could not imagine what fires were being spoken of. Then it came to him. The realization was quickly followed by questions that could not be answered, and so went unasked. The signal fires provided early warning, but could not offer any other insight. They were only supposed to be used for an incoming dragon, but no dragons had been seen in decades. Once, 13 years ago, the fires had been lit by a guard stationed at Valiant Rock. The five others stationed there were quick to denounce the Loden guard's actions. As a result, they merely received 10 lashes. The offending guard was lashed to the point that lighting the fires in jest had not been considered since. When the fires were lit, the regulations were clear. Protective housings was to be made available for those who lacked stone dwellings. All available guards, excluding those needed to maintain order in Trist, were to assemble in the plains between Trist and the Sky Anchor Mountains. They were to be outfitted with bows and crossbows, with triple the amount of ammunition. In addition, distant siege weaponry was to be constructed. Also, if possible, a licensed dragon hunter was to be consulted. "See, preparations are begun. I will inform the council." "Yes, sir." "And the hunter?" The moment stretched between them. "See if another is available. If not, we are left with only Smythe." "Understood, sir." Another salute and Marcus was gone. Trin let his frown deepen. He had to approach this as if a dragon were to appear as early as 2 days from now, even if that was the most unlikely of options. It was more likely that lightning struck the signal tower as it had 27 years ago. But scenario regulations were in place for a reason. He should think of this as a training opportunity for a response to another outside threat. The southern tribes were getting bolder. A dark thought kept bubbling up. What if a dragon was approaching? Many good men would die. Forgotten on the stove, the fire pepper's juice had long since boiled away, and the peppers began to smoke.
That's all for this week. Thanks for listening. Deadly Troubadours is now available as an ebook from Smashwords.com, Amazon.com, and Apple's online store. If you want to know more about me, Brent Thomas, you can visit my website at DeadlyTroubadour.com. You can also like me on Facebook by searching for the page Deadly Troubadours. This podcast is available on iTunes, so if you have a moment, please rate and review the show. While you are there, why not check out my other podcasts, Comics League International and Living Japan. If you want to contact me, email me at deadlytroubadour@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at deadtroubadour. Once again, thanks for listening. If you are enjoying the book, please share it with your friends. And please tune in next week for the continuing adventures of the Deadly Troubadours.